Shalom Aleichem Mishpokas, Todd and Tamara here from Paradigm Shift, and today we're going to be doing a rerun because we are preparing to go into pro se, representing ourselves into county and federal court against the bankers, the largest bank of this nation, J.P. Morgan Chase, who has over $70 million in illegal Las Vegas-style gambling debt derivatives that have crushed the world economy and forcing us into this collapse of planet foreclosure unto the banksters. And this is CNBC last week, or was it the week before, they said on there that we are all definitely slaves to these bankers. This is a quadrillion-dollar debt, and we're saying no. So anyway.
Yeah, okay, that's the paradigm shift, is always changing our minds about what we think we've always been taught, and to just fall, you know, bend over and fall into the fall in line with what the banks are telling us to do. Yep, we're saying no to it. So if you want to offer up some prayers for us, we'd appreciate any support. And so today we're going to actually do a rerun of a show that we did a couple months ago called Tavistock Zombies. Why? Because it's completely relevant right now. We've just had an article put out. National Geographic has pulled a survey that's asking Americans who they want to deal with an alien invasion, Obama or Mitt Romney. The bottom line is a false flag event of this nature, and Obama will suspend the U.S. elections and push the one world government agenda with the United Nations. So this show on Tavistock Zombies is all about how they predictively program us and set us up to accept anything that our leaders decide for us. This article on National Geographic was supported by Bloomberg and CBS mainstream media.
So this connects with Tavistock because this tells us how they create the zombies. And it's all in the news today, including in China. So without further ado, here we go. Good afternoon, kings and priests of the whole house of Israel, Yehuda, and the North American Empire, Anglo-American Empire of Europe, and the United States, and the globe, Japan, and the rest of the countries of the world where our seed has been spread as numerous as the sands of the sea. Well, today we want to bring you a report on Tavistock Avatar Zombies. Now, why do we want to bring that to you? Because today, zombies, the word, the idea, it's in our movies, it's in our music, it's in the theaters, it's becoming a cult of dead worship, necromancy, unto the evil empire. So what happens is, as we fall away from Torah and take away the law and unto their no-law religion of satanic worship, We find the Tavistock Institute being the progenitor of all psyops today. And today, zombies is one of their largest psyops, and it's an actual spiritual effect as the result of our falling away unto servitude of the evil empire as avatars. So without further ado, we're going to get into the report today and give you the reasoning behind the zombie apocalypse that is being presented by the CDC and Homeland Security and other through the media and through the music and the news. Tavistock began as in the 1900s and was formed out of the group of Crowley, Mazzini, and Blavatsky, and Weishaupt that formed the Illuminati in 1776 here in this nation. Those guys began the Theosophy. It was a new type of philosophy that came from the Hegelian dialectic worship of the occult in the Renaissance during Europe. So the first greatest psyop that was put upon us was developed by the kings and queens, our kings and queens, battling it out over Lucifer's throne, over the world, as he said that the people of Israel would bless the nations of the entire earth with what they are doing. And the seed that we have put out in the earth has been by our merchants and by our media and by the empire that's been established upon the dissolution, the disassociation of our people from themselves and from our Father by taking away our Torah and our law.
And what is very interesting is that zombies have been around for many, many decades. But in the beginning, what a zombie was all about was a demoralized, undead slave of a voodoo priest. But in the 1960s, the nature of the zombies changed, and they were portrayed as hordes of brain-consuming monsters with no voodoo context anymore and no controlling master. But with no voodoo master, today, zombies have no clear controller to turn against and free themselves from. That means there's no effective plans for resistance and no hope for the future. Zombies may well be popular today because they speak to a similar feeling of powerlessness shared by many members of our society. The key question is why, like today's portrayal of zombies, are we unwilling to take a stand against the powers that be and are overwhelmed by a lack of political interest? It seems the time is right to reclaim the original zombie concept of a controlling sorcerer, but one that can successfully be resisted. Today's zombie phenomenon is a really good opportunity to get people thinking about who may be wishing to control our brains and what resources we have to resist. In the past, zombies wandered around consuming brains, but today zombies are encouraged to wander around consuming the latest, heavily advertised, branded goods. For those with power, it's clearly useful to them to have a zombified society that does not challenge their decision-making under any circumstances. That was a quote taken from Dr. Pierce, who has this article called UK Zombie Invasion, Brains Are Under Threat, Society Zombified.
And it's no irony, it comes from a doctor, because the Tavistock Institute that's in Europe was formed in order to begin the PSYOP on the masses and individuals. That's where we get the Project Monarch and MK Ultra. They use a combination of drugs, light, and sound in order to zombify, split off into different personalities, the people that are involved. And that includes the masses around the world, which is there's an entire neural net that is orchestrated from the Tavistock Institute. But let's go to Isaiah scripture. Isaiah 8:19, let's give you some zombie-type scriptures. And when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their Elohim? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living?
Isaiah 14:9, the grave from beneath is excited about you to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you. All the chief ones of the earth it has raised up from their thrones, all the sovereigns of the Gentiles.
So what they've done with this Tavistock Institute is they began the idea of full spectrum dominance at the Tavistock Institute. Basically what we see that is to corrupt all light through mass psychology of traumatology. These are words developed from the Tavistock, perfecting psyops, or what we call one-eye operations. Tavistock is the nerve center of the global psy war. It attacks collective psyche through a decentralized network, or aka families and of corporations and governments and agencies around the globe. It was mostly influenced by, in the 1930s, Freud, Jung, and Hegelian, and was born out of Hegelian dialectic. That was their worship that they were doing at the time, that comes from Greece and has its origins in a combination of religions coming from Egypt, Baal worship, Asherah worship, and the like. They have a thesis, an antithesis, and a synthesis. This is from the Tavistock Institute, and what we call today problem, reaction, solution. So full spectrum, decentralized control is always hiding the puppet masters, mixing a cocktail of confusing strong delusion. They control the religions, directing the beliefs, the education, telling us everything they want us to know about our world, from history to archaeology to physics to the insertion of proper or politically correct Pavlovian responses to stimuli they provide for every citizen in our media and entertainment, in our news, in our economy and in our military. And by the time they have full control, the military will be used to accomplish all their goals. Full slavery and tyranny will begin. George Bernard Shaw, I'm paraphrasing here, who's part of the Tavistock Institute, I believe he was in the 70s, I'll have to look that up, said we must get the people to love their slavery under conditions they have no idea of being slaves. They do it by splitting and controlling the personalities, the split and control of all organizations and of men.
And so if you want to see an example of this in today's society, you can get a copy of this report from us. And we have links to one very interesting, Vigilant Citizen has many interesting articles on this and really will give you a very clear idea of exactly what they're doing to manipulate our minds. But we have a link to Natalia Kills, and she has a video out called Zombie. And in the video, she's strapped to a table in what looks like a cold laboratory mind control facility. She's controlled by an unseen person who's sadistically torturing her and with whom she is in love. The video begins showing lifeless, dismembered mannequins, a classic monarch symbol. You remember monarch mind control? We've talked about this.
From the monarchs.
That's right. Representing the powerlessness of mind control slaves. This symbol is found in many other mind control themed music videos. A mask is meticulously removed from her face. Masks are actually used on monarch slaves to program and confuse them. They symbolically represent the slaves' artificially created personas that can be put on and removed at the will of the handler. The handler's rubber gloves only promote that zombie is not a relationship between lovers, but between a slave and her programmer. Torture tools are used by her handler. This video is definitely not about her being in love with a player. In another scene, the handler is shown with a syringe, which are used in mind control to inject powerful hallucinogenics and sedatives into programming victims. In the context of the video, it becomes clear that the lyrics are actually about the sick, twisted, forcibly generated infatuation felt by a slave towards her handler. The beginning of the song describes the relationship. And as the public becomes increasingly desensitized to the agenda, capital A, videos keep marching towards more graphic and uncensored portrayals of mind control, which is arguably the most sadistic and evil practice in the world. Natalia's videos can be read as a diary of a monarch victim, where she describes a world dominated by oppression, torture, violence, sexual abuse, and drugs. The horrific world of monarch slaves is exposed as Natalia is abused and degraded by unseen forces, but the whole thing is presented as cool and fashionable.
And the monarch mind control, how it's given out today from the Tavistock Institute, the partners that are affiliated that were born out of the Tavistock were the CIA, the NSA, the MI6, the Brookings Institute, the Rockefeller Foundation, the RAND Corporation, World Bank, the Club of Rome, the Council on Foreign Relations, the International Monetary Fund, or the IMF, PNAC, NASA, the Pilgrim Society, Trilateral Commission, the Ford Foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and so on and so on and so on. Harvard University, Yale, Stanford, SRI Research Institute, where they had the child molestation going on. It's because they're practicing this monarch mind control upon individuals and the entire mass population. And how they do it through the mass population is through the media, the movies, the churches, the educational system.
What they program us to wear, what they program us to eat, when we go to the doctor, vaccinations. We're going to get into this with the CDC and what they've put out.
And the food, our food, they put the drugs in the food. They change the genetics of the food. They change the our genetics by the vaccines they put into us. The whole program is to disassociate us from ourselves so that they can avatarly control each of us in everything that we do.
What's an avatar? An avatar is basically an empty shell that is controlled by a handler. We saw that in the movie Avatar, a popular movie. It shows you clearly what they're capable of doing and what their whole goal and purpose is. But our bodies are meant to be avatars for the demonic world. They want to possess us, possess our minds. The etymology for the word zombie is traced back to the African Kikongo snake god. In the book, The Serpent and the Rainbow, a Harvard ethnobotanist and researcher, Wade Davis, documents the relationship between Haitian voodoo culture and the process of zombification via ritual, plant and animal toxins, and spiritism. A Bakor voodoo sorcerers, they use powder derived from fish toxins or extracted from the Burundagya plant. The toxin is called scopolamine. By examining historical evidence, disease patterns, and similar neurotoxins, scientists are finding strong links to toxins, viruses, and specifically scopolamine, an active agent of the Burundanga plant. Scopolamine has been used for centuries for ritual magic as well as criminal activity in the Western Hemisphere. And so I do have some information on scopolamine, and you know, it's the plant that it comes from is called Brugmansia, which is the angel's trumpet, directly relating to the trumpets in Revelation. And scopolamine is capable of actually putting people into shamans use it. They put them into hallucinogenic states, and it's been actually they've been talking about that it's been used to for date rape drugs and robberies and those kind of things around here. And so we have the Serpent in the Rainbow is one of the documentaries that shows where zombification started.
So every bit, like just back in the 60s when they introduced, the CIA introduced acid and the drug cultural movement to destroy the real opposition to the bankers back in the 60s. They introduced sex, drugs, and rock and roll, which is a platform of the communists, which the banksters developed and funded. They funded Karl Marx. They funded Joseph Stalin. They funded Adolf Hitler. I mean, they're all a part of the same thing, and it comes out of this theosophy that was born in the 1700s by Blavatsky, Crowley, Mazzini, and then Adam Weishaupt again unto the Illuminati in 1776, where they brought all of their occult ritual magic into one place, and they formed this Tavistock. So the ideas were first best born out in the drug-pushing British East India Company, where they first used them, where they took over China as the merchants of the whore. They used drugs, as they do today, with controlling 90% of the world's opium in Afghanistan, and the drugs running across the border, a $500 billion industry, so they can get it to the people and then appropriately brainwash them with the rest of the programming to the masses.
And what's interesting is that scopolamine as a truth drug was not seriously tested for this purpose until the 1950s, when it was experimented on by various intelligence agencies, including the CIA, as part of Project MKUltra. In 2009, it was proven that a Czechoslovak communist secret police used scopolamine at least three times to obtain confessions from alleged anti-state conspirators. Scopolamine poisoning is sometimes reported by the media as a method by which people are raped, killed, robbed. And although some of these are, you know, largely exaggerated or unfounded rumors, we can see the links here that this zombie drug has been used in MKUltra.
Okay, so Tavistock was called the Wellington House during World War I. It was the propaganda and lie factory of the British Empire. It formed a neural net of cryptocracy, an empire built on secret occult practices of sorcery and witchcraft, bathed in dark rooms making lies. Through fractal holographic control, splitting and dividing the whole and individuals, each part functions as a virus, independently and unconsciously, as one body, one kingdom of Satan, no matter who is in charge, now over the system. It's a nuclear reaction gone critical. You can't stop it, except turning to Yahuwah. In 1921, Tavistock branched into Princeton, Harvard, and Stanford, and Stanford Research Institute. Also, the RAND Corporation was formed back in those days, the CIA, and then MKUltra program came out of the CIA. And then onward, they formed Israel in 1948. The founder of Tavistock Institute was John Rawlings Rees. He wrote, "Psychiatry Shaped by War." At the Tavistock Institute, they studied first and most primarily the shell shock from World War I soldiers and found the human's breaking point. Through a program called Operation Research, they turned the shell shock breaking point psychology on the people of the world using retrogressive psychology and turning it into a shock doctrine, which then they created the crisis strategy post-traumatic culture. Rees, the founder of the Tavistock Institute, created psychological shock troops to control society. These change agents push the solution for the problems they create. The change agents are the antithesis in the Hegelian dialectic. There's a thesis, antithesis, and a synthesis, or a problem which the change agents create. And then there's an appropriate reaction, which is directed and pushed by the kings and queens through their puppets in the banking system and the governmental systems that they control and the corporations around the world. And then they give a solution. So they give us an appropriate reaction to it and then a solution.
All programming.
These change agents were progenitor, or what came from, and also were cohorts of Jesuits, which goes back into the Shakespeare time period in the Renaissance.
So we also have Project Green Star, which was created by NASA and Mossad. It suggests, the multi-trillion U.S. dollar secret budget over the past 20 years or so has put into orbit via NASA, NSA, DIA, and ESA control thousands of unknown satellites that will be used during the staged alien invasion to create a massive prolonged holographic light show across planet Earth via 3D holographic projection technology. UFOs such as flying triangles, huge silver disks, and multicolored orbs will be seen by billions of people day and night. Which it also says that the truth is simply that after the Third World War has commenced, before it has had time to run its course, there will be a staged alien invasion. And some of the UFOs that will be flown will be ones built by the Illuminati secret government and flown out of Area 51, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, Nellis Air Force Base, and other U.S. Air Force bases. The staged alien invasion will compromise two opposing extraterrestrial biological entities' sides, fighting it out. One will pose as the enemy, one will pose as the good guys, and that then they'll have an agenda to control us.
In aliens, in UFO and alien circles, they call the good ones the grays, and the bad ones the Anunnaki, the Anu. And they've got an actual breeding program, they say, that occurred when the Anunnaki came to Earth. And then they mated with, they realized they had, from Mars, and they realized they had to overcome the environmental conditions on Earth, so they mated, and that gives us the kings and queen bloodlines that we have today.
Which everything goes back to, and we know, and we also have other stories about the grays being the bad guys, and then some other race that looks beautiful, Nordic or whatever, yeah, they're the good guys. So we have this playing out all over the place, but the Disclosure Project.
It's all a psyop.
That's right. The Disclosure Project is about activating and familiarizing millions of people with staged alien invasion Project Green Star programming. Films such as Independence Day, Star Wars 3, Return of the Sith, and the TV series like V, The Final Battle, Invasion Earth, and others, again, back this programming up. And that these extraterrestrial savers are going to demand that they become our guardians against future attack. Their agenda is a dark and sinister one designed to completely destroy humanity. Both races are allies and not interested in humanity. They're connected to the power of the Blue Blood Illuminati families and the Committee of 300. After this staged alien invasion will come the fake second coming of Yahshua, of Jesus Christ, who will be, remember, they're different, who will be genetically engineered, being microchipped and part cybernetic, and he will instruct us all to accept the one world government and new world religion with the extraterrestrials as our friends and saviors. Now, here we have Russ Dizdar in Shatter the Darkness. This is his quote. "I believe that the trigger for the Black Awakening is primarily the collective planetary release of extremely powerful demons who will, with great dark power and energy, fall upon those predisposed and enrage them. These energies are literally the fuel which is both in them and upon them. The dark power will be unprecedented, unequaled, and will seem to hang in the air like a direct blood ritual site. These powers summoned, assigned, and released will be like the type with the Moabite king who did blood sacrifice so powers would come down on his soldiers. The powers fell on them, and they were enraged, energized, and victorious against Israel at that time. Thus, the weaponization of direct satanic powers."
Okay, guys, so we're coming to the end of part one here. So tune in for part two on Friday. And
remember, keep looking up. Our salvation lies with Yahuwah, his Torah, and keeping our appointments with him.
Hallelujah. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, may you kings and priests of Israel stand in who you are again today and take pride. Go nowhere on your knees.
Baruch atah Yahuwah.
Respect your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet.